gonna be too loud.
I don't have anywhere to pin it.
I think it's two. Oh, two. Okay. Oh, okay. I'll try it here. Can you hear me? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I want to welcome you here this afternoon in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, as I say, it's a beautiful day in the house of the Lord. You know, a beautiful day to come and hear his word. We had this morning, we were able to partake of the sacrament and that remembrance of his sacrifice for us. And, you know, I come today and today we know it's Super Bowl Sunday. You know, it's Super Bowl tonight. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs, it's been 50 years since they've been to the Super Bowl. You know, and so the city is crazy. You know, excited. If you turn on the news, you know, you in the office, you know, we wore Chiefs attire all week. Friday, we grilled out and had lots of food and in celebration of this. Moment that it's been 50 years anticipating this, you know. I'm wearing this jersey, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And if everybody knows who Patrick Mahomes is, you know. But, you know, he's a young quarterback. He's quick, has a good throwing arm, can run the ball. And he has that enthusiasm to pump up his fellow fans and his team. You know, you see him on the sideline when they're down. He's pumping them up. He's running along. He's their cheerleader. You know, he's pumping them up. You know, so today he has led this team. You know, it takes a team, but he has led the team to the biggest game. You know, Super Bowl 54. You know, and but when you look at interviews, when I've seen him, you know, his post-game interview, anything with him, you know, you see something different than the normal athlete, you know, in the world today, you know, and you can see that he possesses a kindness, you know, and I hope that because he is so popular that he can stay grounded and have that kindness, you know, so I thought to myself, you know, he shows this kindness in his life. You know, what we see, we just see a little bit of him, but he shows that kindness. So I decided to Google, you know, if you need to know something, Google it. You know, and so here is, I said, is Patrick Mahomes a Christian? You know, and here's what I found out. It says, Patrick Mahomes is popular with the fans for his down-to-earth demeanor and commitment to charitable endeavors. He is proud of his religious faith, which he counts on to get him through tough days. You know, Mahomes was baptized when he was in seventh grade. In middle school, he started actively involved in his church's youth group. Clearly, his days in the church youth group made a huge impression on him, for he has no problem sharing religious sentiments on Twitter. And they had a Twitter where when he was out a few games because he had got hurt. And so he had sent this out on Twitter, and it says, awesome team win. The Chiefs had just won. He says, love my brothers. Thank you for all your prayers. Everything's looking good so far. And then he hashtag, God is good. You know, and, you know, it's wonderful, you know, that he can put these viewpoints out there in a world that is you know, consumed with self, consumed with worldly things, you know, that he could put this on there. You know, he practices what he preaches and stays actively involved in doing good for this community. He even has his own charity. You know, I'm glad that he is a good role model. You know, I hope he holds true to his faith in God. I saw an interview with him this week, and it was in Miami, and it was this little boy, young boy, and he said, he asked him, do you have any advice for your fans? And Mahomes simply replied, be the best you can be every day. And so I want to ask us that question. You know, are we being the best we can be? You know, are we giving our best to God? You know, I like to use our hymns as words, and I'd like to turn to 167, and I'm going to read it. You know, there's so much inspiration and love of God in our hymns. And 167, it's give of your best to the master. It says, give of your best to the master, give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh flowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give and to you shall be given. God his beloved son gave, gratefully seeking to serve him. Give him the best that you have. Give of your best to the master. Naught else is worthy his love. He gave himself for your ransom, gave up his glory above. Laid down his life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Give him your heart's adoration. Give him the best that you have. You know, are we giving our best? And then the chorus is, give of your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in salvation's full armor. Join in the battle for truth. You know, and what a wonderful hymn. And what a wonderful message to us. You know, every day we need to think, what are we doing for our Lord? I'd like to turn to Colossians 3. Colossians 3, I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You know, and I want to talk about idolatry. You know, on here in that fifth verse, with these things that you know, we know are bad, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You know, do we have idols in the world? You know, I looked up the definition of idolatry. It's extreme admiration or worship, or the worship of graven images or things other than God. Excessive devotion to or reverence to some person or thing. You know, I know everyone here believes in God. You know, we're all here because we want to hear his word. We want to be better people, you know, but and we wouldn't purposely bow down to idols. You know, I want to read just on believing in God in Mosiah 2. So on page 220, turn to Mosiah 2. I'm going to start with 9, and it says, I say unto you that if you have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God, and his matchless power, and his wisdom, and his patience, and his long-suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord, and should be diligent in keeping his commandments, and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement, which was prepared from the foundation of the world. For all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. And there is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions which I have told you. And then this is what we all know. Believe in God, believe that he is, and that he created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that he hath all wisdom and all power both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things that the Lord can comprehend. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in sincerity of heart that he will forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, this is important, see that you do them. You know, and again, I say unto you that, as I've said before, that as you, if you have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if you have known of his goodness and have tasted of his love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such a great, exceeding joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember and always retain in remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures, and humble yourselves. You know, we must humble ourselves. Even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily, standing steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken of by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you, if you do this, ye shall always rejoice, be filled with the love of God, and always retain a remission of your sins. And as you grow in the knowledge of the glory of him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true, and ye will have no mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is due. You know, there it is. You must live peaceably with all. You know, is it easy? People have different views than us. Is it easy just to ignore it? You know, or say peace or be anger, have anger in your life? You know, we must deal with everybody peaceably, that people will see that love in our lives, that God might touch each and every one of us. You know, we must hold strong to the beliefs in God and put our trust in him and humbly seek him so that we can keep our thoughts on serving him and not get caught up in putting our focus on things of the world. You know, idolatry starts in the heart, craving, wanting, being content by anything that you treasure more than God. You know, let's turn to 3 Nephi. I'm just reading three verses. 3 Nephi, page 6, 3 Nephi 5, page 640. I'm going to start with 110 on page 640. It says, lay not up yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through or steal. But lay up yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, idolatry is the thing in our lives that we desire and treasure more than God. You know, so... you know, I've made a list of things in our lives. You know, things in our lives. And I'm going to start with, you know, here we have this sports team and we're excited. I'm excited. I'm going to cheer them on tonight and they are going to win the Super Bowl. You know, I'm ready for them to win. You know, some like June could care less. But each one of us have our own views. You know, and here today, I'm here to glorify God. Here tonight, I'm here to there to glorify God, but I'm going to cheer and we hope they win the Super Bowl. You know, that's my opinion. So the first one, it says, you know, idolatry, something that we could treasure more than God. You know, first one, it could be the love of sports teams. You know, the Chiefs, the Royals, you know, our children's team, our grandchildren's team, a sport we play. You know, success in work. You know, maybe a popular singer or a group that you see that you just idolize. You know, oh, they're wonderful. You know, it could be a hobby. You know, I love to play pickleball. You may like to scrapbook. You might like to read. You might love to read, you know. You know, these things that are innocent in our lives, you know, You know, let me keep going on here. You know, it's important that we take care of our bodies, but we may obsess with our exercising, you know. We might love coming home, relaxing after a hard day on the couch and just turning the TV on and just sitting there, you know. So I ask, is it okay to like all these things in our lives? And I say, sure, it is. You know, it's fine. All of these things that I've listed are okay to do. But we must put God first in our lives. You know, we need to make sure that we are following his commandments. You know, these other things are our joys in life, but our biggest joy needs to be our love of the Lord. You know, identifying our own idols can be a challenge. You know, I have some questions here that we can ask ourselves, and they kind of all flow together. They're kind of the same question, but the first one is, do I prioritize anything or anyone before God? You know, do we have a schedule? We got to get this done, this done, this done, this done. Does anything bring me more pleasure than the things of God? Do I seek fulfillment or satisfaction from anything outside of God? Do I love or treasure anything or anyone more than God? You know, these are tough questions. You know, we have work, we have family, we have many obligations, but we need to make God our priority. You know, we can still do the other things, but we need to make him our priority. You know, we find the greatest joy when the Lord is our treasure. So how can we make God the treasure in our lives? You know, so I say first we need to build that close relationship with God. So that it's natural. So build that close relationship. We need to start every day with the Lord. We need to end every day with the Lord. We need to do whatever works in our lives to bring the Lord with us everywhere we go. You know, I'm not on Facebook, but I'll get on Becky's Facebook sometimes, and because she's on my email, and I'll just pop in there. And there was someone that our children were in the same, went to school together. And she had put on there, she had this question. She said, we often hear, life is short, better enjoy it. But she said, what about eternity is long, better prepare for it? You know, and you know, you think of that. You think, okay, you know, life is short. My kids are only this age. My grandchildren are only this age. We're, you know, and you can enjoy life with them. But our priority needs to be first thing with God. And I'll tell you what works for me. And everybody can do their own thing. But first thing I do in the morning is I kneel down to the Lord. You know, I ask him to guide my day. And I've told you this before, but I start with telling him, and it's Psalm 118, or asking him, but I actually ask him, 118:24, it says, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I say that, and I've been doing it the last few months, you know, just beginning my prayer with that, you know, and then continuing to pray. But I start it that way, and that gets my mind and my focus on God, where I can take him with me wherever I go, you know, and he blesses me. You know, my day, I might still have struggles, you know, everything's not perfect, but he blesses me, you know, and if we have our thoughts on the Lord, you know, let's turn to Alma 16, page 429. And Alma 16, 429, start with 218. It says, Therefore may God grant unto you, my brethren, that you might begin to exercise your faith unto repentance, and that ye begin to call upon his holy name, that he would have mercy upon you. Yea, cry unto him for mercy, for he is mighty to save. Yea, humble yourselves, continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you're in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets and your secret places and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare and also for the welfare of those around you. You know, a couple weeks ago, our brother Sean came and preached, and you know, he asked us, you know, how many times a day do you pray? You know, and so I hope we thought on that, and let's hope we increased, you know, increased our the times that we pray to God. You know, it says in the scripture that I just read, he would like us to seek him always, you know, morning, midday, evening, and in our hearts. You know, it says, when you're done praying, have me in your heart. Look to me. Let me guide you. Let me direct you. I'm going to turn. You can turn or not. It's just two verses, but it's on page 29, 1 Nephi 3. And it's verse 68. It says, and it came to pass that I beheld the rod of iron, which my father had seen, was the word of God, which led to the fountain of the living water, or to the tree of life, which waters are representation of the love of God. And I also beheld that the tree of life was a representation of the love of God. And I'm going to read one more verse. And the angel said unto me again, look and behold the condescension of God. You know, so it says there, the rod of iron, you know, which is the word of God. So the next thing I'm talking about is that I do, I pray, then I read a scripture. And, you know, depending on my timing, I'm not an early riser, but I fit this in every day, and it may be short, but I read something out of the Book of Mormon, and I read something out of the Bible, you know, because we need to strengthen ourselves. You know, I have never been a reader. You know, my wife's a reader, loves to read. The Lord has blessed me now that I love to read the scriptures. I'm still not a fan of reading a novel, and probably won't ever be. But he has blessed me in reading the scriptures and putting myself closer to him. You know, do I do everything right? No. You know, I'm preaching to myself this day, you know, but we have to find a way to seek our God. Second Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the work of truth. You know, we need to ask the Lord for his guidance in our lives. You know, John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. So I'd like us to turn to a song, another song. It's page 274. And on this one, I'd like us to sing it. So 274, just stay seated. And it's Father, lead me day by day. I think I'll turn this off too, so I won't blare you.
Father, lead me day by day, ever in thine own sweet way. Teach me to be pure and true. Show me what I ought to do. When I'm tempted to do wrong, make me steadfast, wise, and
that my Father loves me so. May I see the good and bright
when it passes
before my sight. Then
I hear the heavenly voice
when the pure and heart rejoice. May I do the good I know, be thy loving child below, then at last go home to thee, evermore thy child to be.
Okay, Deuteronomy 13:4 says, ye shall walk after the Lord your God with fear, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. You know, I want to turn to Ephesians 5. I'm going to read 5 verses there. Ephesians 5, verse 1 says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness or foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And, you know, we need to walk in love. Walk in love. We need to endure to the end. You know, Sean had talked on enduring today. Every day we need to work. Have that work at serving the Lord, at putting him first, as prioritizing him to be first in our lives. Let's go to 2 Nephi on page 162. 2 Nephi 13. And I'm going to start with verse 19. It says, and I heard the voice of the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen, that your Lord and Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that they might know the gate by which you should enter. The gate that you should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and of the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. You have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and of the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye entered in by the way, you should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that you have gotten into the straight and the narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the words of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore, you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. There it is, love of God and of all men. We must love one another. We must follow his commandment, his second commandment there. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. I want to then turn over to 3 Nephi on page 651. It's shorter here. 3 Nephi, page 651, chapter 8. And I'm going to start with 46. It says, "Therefore, blessed are ye if you shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil." You know, we must watch always. You know, it's easy to fall in that snare. "And ye be led away captive by him. And as I've prayed among you, even so shall I pray in my church. Shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you." And it came to pass that Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples. He turned again unto them, to the multitude, and said unto them, "Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest you be enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father in my name, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father always in my name, and that your wives and children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming in unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they shall come unto you, and forbid them not." You know, we must meet together off. We had an opportunity last weekend to, the temple lot had a rally, and it was good. I felt the Spirit there. We were blessed with his love. You know, we must meet together so that we can strengthen our walk with the Lord. You know, Becky and me had, we facilitated one of the afternoon talks, and we were with the young Marys and the teens, a few older teens, and they had many good thoughts brought up on this subject. And the subject was, how can we show our love to others? And, you know, it was brought up that we have to have patience, charity, which is the pure love of Christ in our hearts. And someone mentioned sometimes pride gets in our way of forgiving and loving each other. You know, do we have that pride in our hearts where our way's right and we're not going to, that person thinks different than me? Are we not going to love them? But the Lord says we must love everyone. Must love everyone. He says, how can we, if we don't love the people we see, it's paraphrased, how can we, if we love him that we can't see, why can't we love the people that we can see? You know, so, you know, our faith and our love and our God that we can't see, we must show that love one to another. You know, we must follow the example the Lord has given us. We must live peaceably with all men. You know, John 15, 7 through 14 is talking about abiding with our God. So John 15, I'll start with 7. It says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatever I command you." And then Matthew 5, starting with verse 8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? Is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, do we let our light shine in the world? Do people know by our actions and deeds that we love God? You know, I mentioned earlier, you know, Patrick Mahomes, when he talks, you know, I could tell that he had a kindness. You know, something different, you know, that he had a kindness. So I figured he was a Christian. Before I Googled it, I thought, I bet you he's a Christian. Sure enough, he was. You know, when others see us, can they see the light of God shine in our lives? Or, you know, I had to change shirts. You know, tonight I'm wearing the Mahomes jersey to cheer the Chiefs on. But today, you know, does anybody want to read what that says? Can you read it that far?
I love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, and soul.
Yeah, so it says, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, and soul. I have a daughter that creates shirts, and I was preparing my sermon this week, and I texted her and said, do you have an old shirt? Can you make me a shirt? I need it for Sunday. And so she put this on there. You know, do I need to wear this shirt to tell you, hey, I love the Lord, or can he see it in my life? You know. So what we need to do is have the light of God burning in our hearts. Let's turn. This is on love. I'm towards the end. We'll be out soon. 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I've been married almost 36 years. This was when I was dating my wife. I don't know, we said what our favorite scriptures was, and this was her favorite scripture. And so, which is probably about 38 years ago, she told me that. It's been a long, good life. So, okay, 1 Corinthians 13 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. You know, the pure love of Christ. You know, I'm going to skip that one. I have a poem here. It's by Helen Steiner Rice. And it's called God's Love. It says, God's love is like an island in life's ocean vast and tide, a peaceful, quiet shelter from the restless rising tide. God's love is like an anchor when the angry billows roll, a mooring in the storm of life, a stronghold for the soul. God's love is like a fortress, and we seek protection there. When the waves of tribulation seem to drown us in despair, God's love is like a harbor where our soul can find sweet rest from the struggle and the tension and life's fast and futile quest. God's love is like a beacon burning bright in faith and prayer. And through the changing scenes of life, we find a haven there. You know, Psalms 5:11 says, "But let all those who put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." You know, I hope that I've spurred some thoughts, you know, that we must put our faith and trust in the Lord. You know, we must put him first above all things, that we need to just watch out that we don't let idols creep in our lives that we put before God. You know, still, you know, I'm ready for tonight. You know, I'm going to cheer the Chiefs on. They're going to win the Super Bowl. We're ready for that. You know, but I want you to remember, you know, what is really important is our victory with our God. You know, 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And I'm going to end with Mosiah 3:21, which says, "Therefore I would that you should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in good works, that Christ the Lord omnipotent may seal you his, that you may be brought to heaven, that you may have everlasting salvation and everlasting life, through the wisdom and the power and justice and the mercy of him who created all things in heaven and in earth, who is God above all. Amen." So thank you very much for your time, and let's have our victory with God.
Thank you, Brother David. Appreciated those words.